Blog Talk Radio.
You find the area we don't line up with truth. Lord God, that you'd bring about a conviction in our hearts, Lord, to make us want to line up with you, to be more like what we ought to be in Christ. Lord, to give you the honor and glory you deserve. Lord, may we see ourselves as we truly are. Lord, we're selfish creatures. Lord, we wander from you. Lord, we don't grow like we ought. Please forgive us and help us. Make us strong. Lord God, as we live this life, Lord, it's not easy. Lord, with you, it's so much better. Father, I just pray your blessing be upon us today. Teach us from the Word of God. Help us. Make us students of it. Pray, Lord, as we come away from this, we'll come away rejoicing, Lord, because you've worked in us. Lord, you've shown us our error. Lord, you've shown us, Lord, where we need to be stronger. You've shown us where our love ought to grow. Lord, help us. Give us grace and your mercy, Father, on us. Lord, we love you so much, and we praise you and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Looks like we're live. And Romans chapter 1, if you would there. We're going to read verses 18 through 32. I was reading last night regarding this passage of Scripture. And Charles Spurgeon, preacher of the past, he said that this was not really a passage of Scripture to be read aloud in public. And I realized why he said that. It's a subject matter. He said it was to be read alone, thought, contemplation. I realized that in mid-19th century London, England, in that society, this would have been absolutely unmentionable things to talk about. But let's look at it this morning. The world we live in today is a jaded world. The world we live in today, nothing is going to shock anybody. But God should make us be shocked at what's going on. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," notice this, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That's crucial that we don't miss that. They hold the truth. They have the truth, but yet they have it and live unrighteously. He said, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. Do you know, and I don't want to stop and preach on every little thing we see, but we've talked about it before. There's no denying there's a God. People can deny it all they want to, but there's no denying there's a God. I mean, without God, the elephant would never have existed. An elephant has a trunk that's specialized so that he's able to reach down and pick up things and reach up and pick up things. That elephant's trunk is crucial for his existence. That elephant couldn't survive without that trunk if he had to evolve it. That giraffe that has a heart in it, that's, first of all, it's huge and it's built like a sponge so that it contracts and expands as that giraffe lifts his head up 13, 14, 20 feet however far in the air and lowers it back down to the ground so that giraffe doesn't just pass out from the elevation up and down. His heart is specially made by God, contracts and expands as his head goes up and down. The things of creation show that there's a God. Amen. The Bible says, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God," now don't miss that, "they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to bird, and to all over this world. You'll find statues of things that people bow down and worship, They've made statues of men. They've made statues of animals. They've made statues of all kinds of things. And they bow down to them, and they worship them, and they think that they have power. The Bible says, wherefore God also gave them up. What a horrible thought that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They lie. I'm telling you, there's lies all over the place. This lie of evolution, it's a lie. The lie of the Big Bang Theory, it's a lie. This lie of homosexuality, it's a lie. It's a lie. That's not what God designed. That's not what God intended. Amen? And they serve the creature. That means they serve themselves rather than more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. God speaking of disease and the ruin that goes along with that life of sodomy. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's a godless mind. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, you don't miss that, who knowing the judgment of God, they know what comes. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. That's it. I used to think, when I read that, I used to think of Jerry Springer film. How people are vilely up there on stage promoting their wickedness and their sin, and how the people in the audience are clapping away. Folks, it's a mess world. Let's go for a little prayer one more time. Father, help me now to preach the message. Father, I pray your power be upon me. Lord, I know that I'm nothing without you, and I ask you, Lord, please, Lord, I pray for your power. Lord, I pray for your touch. I pray, Lord, for your Lord, you just work it through me, and Lord, work in the lives of these folks that are here this morning. Lord, these that have tuned in to listen to us on the internet, Lord, whether they be in this nation or whether they be around the world this morning, we pray, Lord, they be blessed by it. And we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to say hello just to a couple people that I know that are listening, to Brother Wally up in Tennessee and Brother Rowan Morrell over in New Zealand. We're thankful for them and others. Jeannie Brooks over in England, we thank God for her too, and others who may be listening in. We just want to give them encouragement to keep on. But anyway, as we look at our text this morning, there's a lot of places we can go to this, a lot of places we can focus on, but I want to focus on 2 verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for a man to want to live on in his sin and ignore God. There is no reason for that other than the fact that his heart is wicked and he just absolutely does not want God. Amen? The Bible says they are without excuse. God is not going to say, oh, well, you didn't know. No, the word was there. And God said in here that they knew it. They knew God. When they did know him, they did not glorify him. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Folks, I just want to say to this morning, before we get into this message. Some of these things that I'm going to talk about this morning, some of these things are going to hurt a little bit. And they're going to hurt a little bit because we can sit back and read this and we can sit there and go, this poor world is in such a mess. Oh, my goodness. It's just in such a mess. But we don't even realize that we're in a mess with it. We don't realize that we have, whether we like it or not, as much as those of us that are saved and want to live for God, try to live for God. If we're not careful, this world will take us further down the road than we want to go. And we don't even realize we're hooked onto it. We don't even realize the pull that it has on us. And as we study this, as we look at this this morning, I want us to understand when we look at these people that God is talking about, God help us if any of this is hit out in us, because some of it very well may be. But I want you to see about these people that knew God. Don't forget that. They knew God, but they didn't glorify Him. They knew who He was, but they did not give Him the glory that He deserved, and they were not thankful for Him at all. Amen? The first thing we see here is that there is a lack of reverence for God. They don't reverence Him. They're not in awe of Him. They don't sit back in reverence and realize how small they are and how big He is. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They don't think of God. Here's the thing. They don't even think of God. They don't. He's not even in their mind. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, because he thinks he's something else, will not seek after God. Doesn't want God. Why? Because I got everything I need. I'm all right. I'm me. Hey, I'm good. I don't need anything. That's the way a lot of people's attitude are. That's why people don't want to come to church. That's why they don't want to read a Bible. That's why they don't want anybody to pray with them. They just want to go about their lives, live their lives, leave me alone, I'm fine. They don't want to think about God. God is not in all his thoughts. Amen? That's what we're looking at. God is not in this man's thoughts. This world is living as if there was no God. This world is rolling on as if God did not exist, and the more that they can put God out of their mind, the better off they feel like they are. But you know what's really sad? There's a lot of professed Christians who are living as if there's no God too. Amen? They claim they're believers, but yet they live their lives as if God was not even there. I mean, as if it didn't matter. Amen? There are also people out there in this world who they call themselves agnostic. Y'all heard that word before? I used to have a friend who was a bass player, and I talked to him about his soul one time, and he said, I'm agnostic. And I've met other people like that. Agnostic, it's a Greek word. But there's also a word in Latin that's the equivalent to the word agnostic. Now, agnostic, they say it means that they believe there is a God, but they don't know anything about Him. Or as long as He don't bother them, they won't bother Him. You know that the Latin word equivalent to agnostic is ignoramus? That's what agnostic means. They're an ignoramus, amen? They ain't got no sense to know that they ought to love God, that they ought to reverence God, amen? God is more necessary to me, folks, than the air that I breathe, amen? God is more necessary to me than the food that I eat. God is more necessary to me than this life. God is absolutely, positively necessary. And how can a creature such as a man who's created by God go all week long without once even thinking about his creator? It does not make sense. Amen? At all. Not only do they not think of God, they have the wrong idea. That's when they do think of God, they have the wrong idea about who God is. Who is God? God's all in all. He's all in all. Amen? God's not ever going to play second place. Amen? God is all in all. If you put God in second place, then whatever's in first place in your life is an idol. Amen? Don't miss that. I know that's hard to hear. But whatever in your life you're putting ahead of God has become an idol to you. Amen? Why? Because God is more important than anything in our life. So we put anything ahead of Him, it's an idol to us. Who is He? He's omniscient, or He's all-knowing. God knows everything about all things at all times, all around the world. Nothing escapes Him anywhere, amen? He's omnipotent, which means He's ever-present. He's all places at all times, all the time. He is omnipotent, or He's all-powerful. He made this world and everything in it, and he's able to shut her down too. He's able to do anything he wants to within this world because he is the creator of it all. I'm telling you who God is not. I've said these people have the wrong idea about who God is. God is not our errand boy to run at our beck and call. But yet we treat him like that sometimes. We ignore him. And I tell you what, we ignore him. We ignore him throughout the day. We ignore him throughout the week. And then something happens. We need them. God, we need this. Go get it for me, Lord. I got to ask. Bring it to me. We treat him like he's our errand boy. Instead of worshiping him like he's our God. Love him like he's our Heavenly Father. A lot of people treat him like an errand boy. That's not who God is. Amen. God's not a spiritual Santa Claus to give us our every wish. But if you watch him preach on TV, that's exactly what you think. You watch them televangelists, they had you believe, listen, God's going to bring you money. God will bring you money. God will do this, God will do that. I'm not saying God changed, but I'm not saying that's not the business God's in. It's just bringing people money all the time. But that's exactly, they'd have you believe that if you serve God, God will make you rich. Folks, that's not the way it goes. Amen? You serve God, God will make you humble. He won't make you rich. Amen. You'll be rich in spiritual things, but not necessarily rich in the things of this world. I tell you what, God is not to be put on the back burner until we're ready for it. But you see, that's the way a lot of people think about God. Acts 24:24-25, the Bible says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for a time, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, he tried to put God on the back burner until he was ready for God. God can't be put on the back burner. God's in first place. God's not to take left over. If they truly knew God, see, the Bible says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. When God was revealed before Felix, Felix did not glorify him as God. He said, God, something I can pick up any time I want to. God, something I can handle any time I want to. He didn't look at God as who God was. He had the wrong idea about who God was. God would just wait on him until he was in a place in his life where he wanted God. That's the way people are. That's why people are busy trying their way this morning with no thought of God in their mind. They're about doing their own business, and when they get all their business taken care of, maybe when they get enough money together, when they don't have to work like a dog on Sunday, or maybe when this gets better or that gets better, then they'll tend to this business of going to church or seeking God. But right now, they don't have any time for it. You see, they glorified him not as God. If they truly knew who God was, they trembled in his presence. They quake in their boots as to who God is. Now, some may think about God, but fail to give him genuine spiritual worship. Now, let me just say this to you. I listened to Brother Wally Langford preach this week on Blog Talk. Boy, he got me all riled up. Some may think about God, but they'll fail to give him real, genuine spiritual work. We have built a model that we expect God to fashion himself into. And I tell you what I mean. And I know we're guilty of this. We have a set time when we start. But I can tell you something we don't have a set time when we stop. But yet there's lots, and I'm not mad at these other churches, I'm just simply telling you that there's lots of folks sitting in pews this morning. And if that preacher ain't done by 12 o'clock, they're going to get testy with him. Preacher, we're going to hear from God, but we better do it before 11:59, or we're going to get testy. That ain't having genuine purpose. Amen? If you genuinely speak at God, if you genuinely want to meet with him, you ain't ready to leave 12 o'clock. You see, we build this model, we're going to sing three songs, and we're going to have a prayer, and we'll have this and that other. And God better fit himself into our program, but if he don't fit himself into our program, we're just going to keep on going through the motions and be happy with it anyway. And that's the way a lot of places do. They just going to keep going through the motions. Amen. Trying to crank a car with that gas. Amen. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna get nowhere. You can keep on pressing on it all you want to. You see, God doesn't need our religion to make it happen. We can put up more crosses. We can build taller, bigger organs. We can build bigger platforms, gold-plated furnishings, and candles everywhere. But that's not what God wants. Amen? Matthew 9:10-13, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God calls men to repent of their wickedness, believe upon his Son, and be saved. Religion's for man, it's not for God. God calls men to repent. God calls men to come in humble adoration of him and fall down before him, confessing their sins and being cleansed of it, and getting right with him and having a relationship with him, not coming and going through a program. And if it don't work out, fine. God doesn't show up, that's fine. No, God won't. Amen. The Bible tells us in John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, our worship must be according to the Bible. Our worship must be God's way. Our worship must be genuine from the depths of our soul. Our worship, look up here, our worship shouldn't be in a religious format. It shouldn't be through religious things. It ought to be real from our heart to the Lord. Amen. From the depths of our soul to the Lord. Amen. I said another thing about these that don't glorify God. They're never obedient to his word. And they never serve him. Can I ask you a question this morning? I'm not trying to pick or be nosy, but I'm going to ask you this question. It's a serious question. Do you truly serve God? Now, I want you to think about that question. I didn't ask you, did you come to church? I didn't ask you, did you pick up a songbook and sing? I didn't ask you, do you read your Bible every now and then? I'm asking you, do you serve God? That's an important question. Let me ask you this. Do you ask God to show you what to do every day? Do you ask God to lead you as you go about your day every day? Would you follow him as he did show you? Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not the earth. In other words, it's not up to us to decide what we do with this life. We are his, amen? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Made us for his pleasure, amen? Not we don't have him for our pleasure. We're here for his pleasure. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. The price that cost the body of you was the blood of the Son of God. That's what you cost God, so that he could have you. Think about that. Let that roll through your mind. In order for God to have you with him, he had to sacrifice his own. Now, that was pretty important to God, wasn't it? So how important is God to us? Are we reflecting back what God has shown to us? That's a heavy thought, isn't it? Are we giving back toward God what God has given us? I think that's a very important thought. You see, again, I said serving God, working for God. And many people will work themselves to death trying to get rich. Many people work themselves to death trying to win an award or get somebody's respect. But see, they're only laboring for what the Bible calls the meat, which perish. We're only laboring for things that are temporary here on earth. God wants us to work for him for things that are eternal, that will be there forevermore in heaven. But they're not. They don't obey God. They don't They don't seek to serve him. And I'm telling you, we need to think on these things. We need to ask ourselves, am I really giving God what he deserves? Am I really loving him like he deserves to be loved? Am I really honoring him the way he deserves to be honored? Am I glorifying him amongst the other people around me? Do I speak about God and give him glory every day of my life? Or do I just go through the motions and do everything for the right now and for me? I tell you another thing about them. They don't trust God. They don't trust him. You know, the Bible gives us a really good example of this in Matthew 25:14-29. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them to this. Let me stuff with them. He said, hey, unto one he gave 5 talents. He said, what are talents? Those are weights of gold. Talent was a weight of gold. He gave him 5 talents of gold, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several abilities. That means, hey, I didn't give the one that I didn't trust as much the most. I gave the one I trusted the most. And then this one and then this one to their ability. And the Bible says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the son and made them other 5 talents. He took the 5 talents of gold and he went and he did business. He used it to conduct business, and he ended up making 5 more talents of gold back. So he ended up with 10. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1, he went and digged in the earth and hid for money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Let's say, look, boys, let's get in here and figure out what all's going on. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and he brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. You think the Lord pleased? Is the Lord pleased with that? I think so. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Here the Lord saith unto him, well, you didn't do as good as the one with 5. No, he didn't say that at all, did he? No. He didn't expect him to do more than he had to do with. All right? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You say he got less than the other guy. Well, that's all the Lord trusted him with. If the Lord had trusted him with more, then he maybe would expect it more, but he didn't. He trusted him with that right there. But then, he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hadst not sown, and gathering where thou hadst not straw. Give stuff to God to work for. What he said. I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that sign. Here's that talent you left me with. You can have it back. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. One man just trusts God in. God has been merciful to every single one of us, to every single one that's listening. God has been so good to us, and we don't even appreciate how good he's been to us. God has trusted us. Listen to me. You say, I don't have gold. No, but I'll tell you what you do have. You have something more precious than gold this morning if you're a believer. Amen? If you're a child of God, you have something more precious than gold. You have the ever-living Son of God, His Spirit living inside of you. And listen to me. Don't pay attention. She's going to the restroom. It's not a big deal. Listen to this. God wants us to take what is ours, what he's given us. The message of the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation through his son, he wants us to take that message and take it and use it and gain more with it. That's the gold that we have. Amen? That's the precious thing that God has trusted us with. And God wants us to take it and make something else out of it. That's living for Him. That's working for Him. That's serving Him. That's trusting God that His plan is right and His way is perfect. But you see, these people He's talking about, they didn't trust it in themselves. They trusted in man. They trusted in this world. And it's going to fail. God's going to fail. If we trust God, God can handle it. God has never failed anybody. Jeremiah 7, 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her root by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. There's no hope in trusting man. There's no hope in trusting self. There's no hope in this world. But our hope is in Jesus. And God promises us, if we will trust the Lord, God will bless us. If we will trust Him, truly trust Him, God will see that our way prospers. But yet, so many don't. So many don't even want to talk to Him. Don't even talk to God. And yet God create. Think about this. What kind of situation would it be if a person had a child who never spoke to their parents at all? I mean, got up in the morning, came in there, sat down, bowl of cereal, ate a bowl of cereal, went to sleep, walked out, never said nothing to mom and dad. Went about their way, still came in at the end of the day, walked in, threw their books down, and never said a word to mom and dad. Went flopped down, watched TV for an hour or two, got up, went and done this, done that. Came in, ate supper, never said a word, went to bed, never said a word, just like they didn't exist. But yet they were expected to supply all the kids' needs. Would that fly? Really? That wouldn't fly very well, would it? No. Child wanted to be fed, wanted to shelter, wanted to be protected, wanted to be provided for, but never spoke to his parents. It wouldn't last very long, but that's the way a lot of people pray to God. They live in this world. They want to be provided for. They got all the things that God has given them, but yet they don't even talk to it. They ignore Him. They may mention Him in their speech every now and then. They may say, "Oh my God," when something happens. They're just using God's slang. They may use Him in cursing. They're not using His name right. They use His name in vain. They never really talked to him. Matthew 12, 34 to 37 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being able, speak good things? For out of the abundance of living in your heart, God, and you love God in your heart, how can you speak? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof at the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's a scary thought. That every idle word we speak, we're going to be held account. That's scary. Amen. I tell you something else about them, they don't want to be right with God either. They don't care. They don't want to be upright with Him. I mean, I don't want to be right with Him. He said a lot of people, they go around, they have this idea that them and the man upstairs have an understanding. I've heard that before. I knew a guy that I witnessed to, and he told me, he said, you know, me and the big C have an understanding. Me and the big C, I guess that's been right. Let me tell you, somebody loves the Lord ain't going to say me and the big C got an understanding. Yeah. Me and God, we got an understanding and everything. No, we don't have an understanding. You come through the blood of Jesus Christ or you don't come at all. You won't have an understanding otherwise than that. John 6:65 says, and he said, therefore I said unto you, that no man could come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. Nobody will come to Jesus and let the Father draw of him, amen. They may know of him, but they don't glorify him as God. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. A lot of people, I believe in God. He said, well, if you believe in God, that's great. The devils also believe in truth. There's plenty of, hey, listen, all the devils of hell know that God's real. They all believe. Let me tell you something, there's a difference between knowing that God's real and glorifying him as God, coming through his only begotten Son to have salvation. Number two, let me say this to you, they have no gratitude. They have no gratitude. They didn't glorify him as God, and they have no gratitude. The Bible says because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. There's no thanksgiving for what God has done. No, they despise his law. I'm going to try to hurry, folks. I know I got a long message this morning. They despise his law. Let me tell you, I thank God for the law. But if it had not been for the law, I wouldn't know I was a sinner. Amen? The law is there between us. And over in this nation we live in, 10 commandments have come down from courthouses. Somebody said the reason they're taking them down is because it creates a hostile work environment. All them corrupt lawyers and corrupt judges, it creates a hostile work environment to have their commandments hanging in there. But they've come down from courthouses. They've come down from public buildings. They've come down from school buildings. Listen, that's what's wrong in our nation. People don't know where to go. They don't know what to do because the truth's gone. It's pulled down. They don't want it anymore. Amen? They despise the law of God. They're not thankful that God is telling them. Do you know what the law is? The law is a map of where not to step. It tells us of bear traps that are out there. Not just bear traps, devil traps that are everywhere that'll hold us, grab us, and hold us back and pull us down and destroy us. But God's law is a map that says, don't step there. That's not where you want to be. That will lead you to destruction. Don't go there. And it's foolish to throw out God's map. I mean, God's map is there to help avoid danger. It's foolish to throw the map out. Men are not thankful for God's holy instructions on how to live this life. They don't want them. They would rather condemn them and throw them aside as if they were some kind of an unclean thing that they want nothing to do with. Galatians 3:21-25, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under schoolmaster. If it had not been for the law of God, I would have not known that Jesus was there to die for my sins. I would not have known that I needed a Savior had it not been for the law of God, which smote my conscience and showed me that I was lost. So there's no gratitude. They're not thankful. Not only do they despise his law, they dishonor his day. Like I said, these people run up down any road, they have no thought of God in their head whatsoever. People call Sunday fun day. It's the one day we can get out and do something fun and cut up and party because we don't have to work. See, some people just call it another work day. Well, I got to work, but people are not thankful for a day of rest from their usual labors and would rather take it from themselves than give it to God. I wish it would be like David who said this in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was glad that he didn't have to go about his usual routine. He was glad that he got to be around God's people. He was glad that he got to fellowship with other believers. But so many dishonor the day the Lord has set aside. Not only that, they neglect his word. They're not grateful for the word of God. They neglect it. It is, listen to me, this is the revealed will of God. If you want to know what God has to say to man, you've got to look in this book. What else is it? It's love personified. This is love wrapped up in a book right here. God will love you through this book if you'll read it. Amen? Hey, listen, a man can open this Bible and find heaven in its pages. It's an awesome book. There's none other on earth like it. Amen? And it's God's love letter. It's what it is. It's God's love letter to man that he created. And to so many people, it's an unopened love letter. They don't know what's in it. Again, there's no other book like it. It's a living book. Amen? I can show you, I can pinpoint exactly where we are in this book. To it. I mean, pinpoint it. Amen? You say, where are we? We are living in the gap between Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 4. That's exactly where we're living right now. It's a living book. It's a perfect book. There's no error in it whatsoever. Amen? It is God's revealed will, and there's no error in God's revealed will. It reaches down. In this book right here reaches down into the murky depths of humanity and will save a sinner from errant ways. And yet people look on it with scorn. They run the other way when you try to teach it and preach it, and they don't want to hear it. They neglect the word of God. They refuse the Son of God. Matthew 21:33-38. Here another parable. There was a certain householder, listen to this, which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen. In other words, brought farmers in to take care of it and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. He sent his men down there to his farm, which he left. He left farmers to run it. He sent somebody down there to get the fruit that was coming, that was ripened. And the husbandmen or the farmers took his servants, and they beat one of them, and they killed another, and they stoned another. And again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they'll reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him, and let us seize on him. We kill this man's son, hey, we'll take everything that belongs to him. You say, what does this got to do with anything? This is a parable that teaches Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners, and he was rejected. And they crucified. They refuse being cleansed in his blood. They refuse eternal life through him. They choose hell instead of heaven. They choose hell and damnation instead of Christ. Forgiveness and eternal life. They refuse the Son of God. They're not grateful for what God has done. They forget his deliverance. People forget that God has delivered them. I'm going to tell you, every single one of us in this room, God has brought us through something. Amen? If we stop the message right now, and I said, look at that testimony right now, and anybody, and I'm not going to, but I say, hey, everybody in here, think back to something that God brought you through you didn't think you were going to make it through. I guarantee everybody in the room could come up with something. Amen? But we forget. We live, we face other problems, and we forget what God's done. I mean, listen, we've been delivered by his grace. Many of us have been spared by God from disaster. Now, I look back through my life and see, if God had not been there, I wouldn't have made it through this, or I wouldn't have made it through that. And you know what happens when that happens? When we go through things like that, we swear up now that we give ourselves to God. Oh, Lord, you brought me through this. Lord, thank God. You bring me through this, Lord. I'm going to let you have me, and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to bring you glory. How does this forget that? No, God doesn't forget those promises. How does we live in disregard to God's abundant mercy, God's abundant grace that he's shown? How can we just forget and just forget that he's delivered us, been there for us? He's always been. Not only do we forget his deliverance, but see, we ignore his promise. God provides. You know, folks, listen, I know we ain't all rich folks. You know what? I don't think any of us miss meals. If you miss one, that's because you wanted to. I mean, because you had to. Maybe because you wanted to, or you just wasn't hungry. But we don't miss many meals. You know what? Everybody in this room has a place to sleep tonight. Everybody in this room, I know we've all got health issues, but we got reason to get help to get here this morning. Amen. We have a freedom, listen, that we didn't have to believe for. Others bled for it, but we didn't have to believe for it. We wish others good luck that pray for God's favor in their life. We have much to be thankful for, and all we do most times complain like spoiled children. We hardly go a day without complaining. It's bellyache about something. You know what? And we forget to praise God, the abundance of His mercy. We complain. We ignore the providence of God. God help us to repent. God help us to ask Him to forgive us. God help us to look at all the things that God has done in our life and be grateful and thankful and give Him praise and glory. You know what? We'd like to have more of that, but you know what? If all we do is sit around and complain and gripe, I don't know that God wants to just bless us to gripe and complain. God would rather have a people who give Him glory, who thank Him, who are grateful for everything that we have from Him, and let it be known that we're thankful. They resist His Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost uses God's Word to convict. He speaks to men in a small, still voice. Most people can't hear it because they're drowning in that with everything else. Most people can't hear it because they don't read the Word of God long enough for God to convict them. Many times, you say, I've never done this, but you know what? I bet you have, whether you realize it or not. Many times, He's told to leave us alone because we don't. God deals with us about something, we put it off. We say, yeah, Lord, I know I need to deal with it. I know. We don't do that. We ignore it. You know, maybe He spoke to you this morning about something, and you wish He'd leave you alone about it. Now, I beg you to reconsider that sentence. I beg you to think to yourself, you know what? How many times has God dealt? How many times has God spoke to me about something? How many times has God tried to get you to change something? How long are you going to fight again? Don't fight God. Let Him. We sing that song. Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see it was best for Him to have His way with thee. Listen, we don't need to resist God. Like we said this morning, they didn't glorify Him, and they're not thankful. No reverence, no gratitude, even though they do better. Because that when they knew God, they knew it. There's no excuse. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. I got two more thoughts on this, and then we're done. But listen to me. Knowing something will not help you. Knowing something ain't going to do you any good. You can know all about a topic, but it won't help you if you're dead in your soul. You've got to do what God says. If you're dead in your sins, the only thing that you can do is come to Him, repenting of that life of sin, and turning to Him and saying, Lord, I need salvation. I need to be born again. I need my sins washed away. I need to be forgiven. That's the only thing that can help. That's the only thing that will fix the problem. That's the only thing that you need to do is go to God and come to Him humbly and be thankful that He would reach down in His mercy and save a wretch like you. Amen? That's what He did for me. See, they knew God. Knowledge does have potential, but only if it's used. And knowing the Bible's there, knowing, hey, it says lots of good things, that ain't going to help you a bit unless you find out what they are and who they're for. They're for you. Knowing that you're lost and dead, you see it, it's wonderful if it leads you to repent and believe upon the Savior, but it ain't going to do you no good if you don't do anything with it. And knowing about God, listen to me, even being a believer, knowing about God ain't going to do you any good unless you know Him personally. Amen? Listen, somebody, you can have a friend to tell you all about somebody they know, and they can sit there and just, they can have the best relationship, best friendship with that person, and sit there and just tell you for hours about what a wonderful person that other guy is. But if you don't ever meet them, you don't ever get to enjoy that. You don't ever understand what that person enjoys. You don't ever get to reap the benefits of that relationship just hearing about it. And that's where a lot of people are. They come to church and they hear about it, but they never sit down with Him and get to know Him for themselves. And it doesn't do them any good to just know about God. You need to know Him personally. one last thought. But knowing makes you responsible for your sin of gross negligence. If you just ignore the things of God, if you ignore, listen, it makes you fierce. Luke 10, 12 through 14. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city, Jesus said. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have, and which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. What was Jesus saying? Listen, these cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin, God had worked great miracles in that city. They knew God was real, but yet they didn't want the message. And that's why Jesus was saying, it'd be more tolerable for the people of Tyre and Sidon if they, than for them, because listen, they didn't know, but these other cities did. See, when you know who God is, and when you know what God can do, and when you know how God loves you, and you know how God wants you, listen, and you just ignore him, God is going to hold us responsible for the knowledge that we have. 12:48, the Bible says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, but unto whomsoever much is given of him, much shall be required. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. I'm telling you something, folks, we've been given much, and much is required. I want you to consider you this. And I want to ask you this. Do you glorify God your life? Are you truly grateful for all God has done and for all he's given? Has he spoken to you this morning about some matter in your life? And I wonder if there's somebody out there this morning who listened to us who needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus and born again. All they need to do this morning is come to God in repentance of sin. And what that simply means is this. We've been going in the wrong direction all this time, living for us, doing as we please, with no thought of God, with no concern for the end result, living as if God did not matter. When one repents, they simply come to their senses and realize that is going to lead them straight into hell, that there's only one way to be born again, and they turn from their way, which is the wrong way, and they turn to Jesus Christ, who has the answer, who has his precious blood, which he shed upon Calvary's cross. That blood can be applied to that sinner's sin and washed as white as snow. And if they only come believing upon the Son of God and have eternal life and enter into a relationship with God, where he will love them like a father, where he will care for them as children, dear children. And he'll provide for them and deliver them and give them all the promises that are in this book. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Don't put God back on the back burner. Don't put God in second place. Don't ignore him. I fear we're in danger because this world violently fast for destruction. This world has thrown God aside. This world wants nothing more to do with God. This world wants nothing to do with this book. And I'm telling you, if we are not careful, if we do not cling to this scripture, if we do not cling to Jesus Christ, if we do not cling to the truth of God, listen to me, we are going to be pulled in that direction by the simple flow of this world. If we do not fight against it by a daily relationship with Jesus Christ, we will have no choice but to be pulled downstream through it. How far have you gone? Every one of us in here have gone further than the intended. And every single one of us ought to get right to God about it. I'm talking to me too. We all need to come humble before God and confess that we don't love him like we ought to, we're not thankful like we ought to be, and we don't reverence him like we ought to. And I challenge you today to examine your own self. Bible says if we judge ourselves, we should not. God wants us to judge ourselves. Bible tells us to examine yourself whether you be a person. I'm not trying to call your salvation into question, but I'm simply saying this. Examine your walk with God. Examine yourself. See if God's pleased. Let's go, Lord, pray. Father, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I know sometimes preaching is not that pleasant because it can be painful, Father. I pray, Lord, that you please would take the message this morning. Work in us. Bring about, Lord, your desired end. Lord, I pray, Father, those on the sound of my voice, whether they be in this room or whether they be out in this world somewhere, Lord, that they would examine their life. Lord, by your word, Lord, by the things we've taught this morning, Lord, and they'd ask themselves if they're living in a pleasing manner before you. And if not, Father, I pray they'd come this morning and ask your cleansing and forgiveness. Ask you to have mercy. Lord, yield themselves to you afresh. Turn over their life to you, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you bless each one that's heard the message today. Lord, we ask you to bless us as we go about our day, Father. May we honor and glorify you with it. Thank you so much for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you so much for the Holy Ghost of God that guides us through the Word of God, through this life. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us in danger and through all the trials of life. Father, I pray you bless this little church. Lord, may we continue to serve you and be faithful to you. We're thankful for visitor this morning. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon her and her family, upon their life. And Lord, may we reach others in this town. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.